Welcome to Crossroads, a podcast that explores the intersection of faith and Christian living. Crossroads is part of the media ministry at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church in New York City. Get to know us by visiting us online at fapc.org.
Hi, I'm Jamie Staley, Director of Christian Education at Fifth Avenue Presbyterian Church, and this is Crossroads Podcast. I am really excited for this fall. Our sermon series with Reverend Dr. Scott Black Johnston is called Detectives of Divinity. And we will be going through biblical stories of folks who have really experienced God in tangible ways, and also talking about how we see God in tangible ways today. And so for our podcast series this fall, I am speaking to folks who have experienced God in different ways. This afternoon, I am really thrilled to be joined by Jennifer Skiff, who is a best-selling author and award-winning journalist, who has written a book called God Stories. And she has spent time collecting the stories of people who have experienced God, much like Scott is looking into, experienced God in very tangible ways. So thank you so much for being with me today, Jennifer. I'm really looking forward to this.
It's a pleasure, Jamie. And I love the title of the series, Detectives of Divinity. That's awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, it's just very playful. I think it's going to be a fun way to look at some of the different stories. So, can you tell me a little bit about how this came about? I know you've mentioned that you had your own God story that kind of started this ball rolling. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Thank you. Thanks for asking. I actually had a couple of stories, a couple of God stories. One when I was 12, hit by a car, and what happened at that moment, which is in the book. And then I had another one when I was about, I think, 22. And then the third one, the one that really changed my life, was when I was 32. I was newly married. I hadn't wanted to get married. That's a whole nother story in itself. And I felt really caged. And I was, professionally, I was a journalist with CNN. I was doing really well. I was thriving. But personally, I felt a real failure. And I really started to think that the only way I could get out was to take my dogs and get in the car in the garage and turn it on. And it was around this time where this thought just kept going over and over and over in my head when I started experiencing pain in my right knee. Ended up at Mass General Hospital, and I was told I had a tumor in my bone marrow and needed to be operated on. So I was operated on, and the doctor, I woke up, there were all these Harvard interns are standing around me, and the doctor said, we've kept your leg, but temporarily you have bone cancer. The tumor in your bone marrow that we found is malignant. And, at that moment, I felt a sense of relief that I wouldn't have to go on anymore, and that it wasn't me who was choosing the way out. And then in the next couple of days, something extraordinary happened. I received letters and notes and food and toys and gifts and things from friends who just said, you matter to me. You've mattered. I had someone write to me who I hadn't seen since I was like 13 years old. When you did this, you saved my life, and I need you here. Family members, it was, all I can say is that I was engulfed by like a warm blanket of love. And I started to see that my life had purpose. It really had mm-hmm. had purpose. Yeah. And a few days later, I was told I was going to be prepped that day for chemotherapy, have a shunt put like directly into my heart, to pump chemo in. And I was waiting for that when my doctor came running into my room. He threw his hands up in the air and he screamed out, "Benign!" And I said, what do you mean, benign? And he said, well, I never get to say this. He said, the slide we looked at on the day of the surgery was malignant. It was just malignant. And the DNA's just come back and it says it's benign. And then he walked over to my bed and he got really close to my face. And I said, but what am I supposed to do now? And he said, young lady, go out and live your life. So the next day, I said a prayer. And the prayer was, please then use me for the purpose of my existence. And from that moment on, my life, boom, changed. And I started walking like a different path. I listened to my intuition as I felt that that was my guidance. And I really tuned in. And instead of being what I wanted to be and what I had set off to be, which was, you know, a television broadcaster, famous, I wanted to be famous. I started walking a different path. And, you know, years later, because we'll lead into this next question, I'm sure, is that I knew I wanted to write a book, but I had come up with several ideas, but I wasn't really sure, you know, it wasn't really happening until one day I was having lunch with a minister who asked me if I had any God stories. So I told her my three major God stories. And she said, oh, wow, that's profound. Do you mind writing them down for me so I can tell my congregation? And of course, now I was like, oh my God, now I've got a job. You know, now give me a job as if I'm not busy enough. 6 months later, I remembered that she had asked me because I travel internationally. I lived in Australia, had a home in Australia, wow. And also in Maine. So I was always going back and forth. So, you know, let's just put it this way. 6 months later, I remembered and I wrote the stories down. And then there was the light bulb. She had delivered it to me. Your purpose, you're here now to write this book. You are here to deliver this message. And from that moment on, you know, I was in London short time after that. There I got the London agent. And then there was a bidding war for this book, you know, with publishers. And yeah, and then it all happened. And then, well, to be honest with you, you know, the book was sold, but then I had to get the stories. And so I decided to go on the radio and ask people, you know, tell them I was collecting stories. And then USA Today did a story, a big, you know, print feature about me collecting these stories. And I had a website and I had them just submit their stories. And then it took a while because as a journalist, I had to, you know, I had to make sure these people were legitimate. And that they were their own stories. And so this is a book, God Stories, Inspiring Encounters with the Divine, is a book where people tell their stories of personal proof of the existence of God, all that is, the divine, whatever they choose to call it.
Wow, that is so inspiring. It's so interesting to me that you know, these stories just kind of started coming in. It's rare for me to hear stories like that. I think that as Presbyterians, as those who of us who are kind of in this, you know, set, you know, we believe, but we don't often see a tangible story. We don't often hear that from other people. And so this is, this book is so awesome to just have all of those together. I love how, you know, that compilation is just so beautiful. What was the most powerful story that you, encountered?
Well, you know, I knew that you might ask that question. And I have to tell you that I had, you know, I opened the book back up again. I have to tell you that there nearly everyone has a really special purpose to me at some point in my life. So they all sing to me. You know, there's one that happened in San Diego that was really profound during a fire, but which is why I put that as the first story. But one that really stuck out to me, because it's really about, I find a similarity in that, you know, the moment I actually made that ask for my life to be led and to be directed. It's a story someone else had that was similar, where a woman in Australia was really questioning and always and seeking, you know, seeking as we do. We want proof. Give me more. And so she read some verse in a book, and it really sang to her. So she went down to what she calls like a fairy glen on her property. And she made that ask, please, you know, please use me, show me, guide me. And she said that was a really beautiful moment. And the next morning, she decided to take a jog out in the Australian bush. And when you're doing that, there's like, I can tell you, it's like no one out there. It's just nature. And she said, you know, she was seeing the light sparkle on the trees, and, you know, she was just enjoying everything about nature and was very alone. And all of a sudden she heard a male voice, very loud, just yell, "Stop." And she said it was so powerful that she stopped in her tracks. And when she looked down, directly in front of her was a 7-foot-long poisonous dugite snake. And her next step would have been right in front of the mouth of that snake. And I can tell you, from being an Australian citizen myself as well as American, you do fear the dugite, because if you get bitten by that snake, there's not much time. And wherever you go, you have to have anti-venom. So this gal said that was that moment. That was a moment she heard this voice. And, you know, when I was putting these stories together, you know, they started to come in on this website, and I had no idea how I was going to put them into chapters. And again, they just dropped into chapters. And one of the chapters was about hearing the voice. And all these stories came in where they heard like the voice. It was like that. They're like all these aha moments where their life was saved, but they heard there was no one in the backseat of the car when they were prevented from having that terrible head-on collision, you know, that said, "Move over," you know. No one there. And at first, you know, I thought, I was telling you, when I'm first reading them, I'm like, cray cray, you know, I'm like, where are these coming from? And now I hear the voice. I walk with it. And so, you know, it's been, you know, probably, I don't know, 16 years. And I hear it and I get it. And these were those moments just in that chapter where people had that first experience and they listened. And I think what I love about your series is that you're going to take people to that next level. You're going to remind them you have had these moments. Some of the stories in this book, they're so simple as getting a sign. You know, that a loved one's passed and they saw that rainbow, you know, that they talked about, "I'll send you a rainbow." Or, you know, how people say, like my grandmother, everyone said the cardinal, everyone in my family says, when you see a cardinal, it's your grandmother, yes. you know what I mean? My dad's the dragonfly, you know? So, but you know, they have their stories where people received an answered prayer. Well, that's really powerful when you're in it, you know, it's really powerful. But again, there were also warnings that were given. There were unseen guardians. I remember the stories that came in where this one was really amazing to me. A woman was jogging. She had, you know, earphones in, and she was jogging. And all of a sudden, she felt a hand grip her shoulder and pull her backwards. And she went backwards. And there was no, she turned around and there was no one there, but there was a bus that she was about ready to go right in front of and probably get a good splattered with that. So it's amazing how the stories came in and how I put them in chapters based on that. And of course, there are a lot of the last chapter is about people who left their body and received, you know, confirmation that there's more, but they came back, you know. So, you know, we hear about books just written on that alone, but this was a book where I was really amazed. And I think it's a good template. It's a good template for people to say, well, let me be open. Let me be receptive to these moments, because I do believe that people are having them, but sometimes they're just not aware.
Yeah. Oh, that is so interesting. I find that most powerful stories for me have been the ones where, you know, maybe that prayer wasn't answered in the way that you thought it was going to be. And death and dying is real in our world. And it's not always going to be a miraculous save, like some of the stories, but there were still the signs. One of my favorite stories from your book, I think it was called Mom Look. And I think you mentioned this one. This is the one where someone was passing away, and it wasn't going to be a miraculous save. But after that person had died, there was that beautiful rainbow, that sign of something beyond, of something that... and for me, those stories I found moving and meaningful. Just to know that death is a reality in our world, but to be able to think about, you know, that it's not the end for us, and that there is, you know, a sign of something else. Were these that section of stories there, and now I can't remember what the chapter that Mom Look was in, but how did those stories, those types of stories, move you when you as you began to compile them?
They make you cry, a lot of them. You know, I mean, they evoke an emotional response, because they're, you can relate to them. And I think that's what was wonderful. One day I was doing a radio show, and the radio host said, you know, this is, to me, she said, this is like a modern day Bible, because it's real. It's happening now. It's something that we can understand and relate to. You know, it's like the first story where Marion Brown, I believe, was in San Diego. Her house was one of 2,000 houses to burn to the ground in, you know, wildfires. I can't remember which fire it was, since they have so many. And she had raised her children in that house. They had everything. They lost absolutely everything. And their family went back with the kids to sift through the rubble just to see if they could find anything. They can salvage anything. And she said one of her boys was very stoic, and the second one was just, you could tell how sad he was, and he was just kicking around and nothing. They had been with friends sifting for 4 hours and found absolutely nothing. And she said that this fire had been so hot that, you know, the roots of the trees had burned deep into the ground. So the little boy, the youngest, said, look, I found something. And everybody said, there's no way that kid found anything. And he did. He found a book, and he lifted it up. And around the same time, his mother had been praying, and she had been praying, saying, God, give me something to say to these children. I have nothing to say to them. I have no words of solace. I do not know what to say. And so this little boy picked up the book, and as he picked it up, all of the pages just blew away in his hand. And everybody went, oh, you know, they had gathered around him. They said, oh, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. And they started to turn away. And he said, no, look, look. And he had in the palm of his hand only one piece of paper. And it was the size of like a half dollar. And it had three words on it. And the words were, count your blessings. And, you know, to me, that story really moved me. And that's why I put it as the first story in the book. It's a profound moment of reality. And it was also a clear answer to a prayer and also a clear message. How to move forward. Count your blessings. How to move forward throughout your whole life. Count your blessings.
Yeah. What kind of feedback have you gotten from folks who've read the book, and how has it changed? How has it changed people?
Well, I'd say the best feedback I ever got was one day I was doing a radio show in Salt Lake City, and I was telling stories from the book, and it was a very strange radio show because it was like a morning show, and the hosts were bantering back and forth, so I was trying to. How am I to tell God stories with these jokes going on, you know? And but I did, and I plowed through it. And after about 20 minutes, half an hour afterward, I got a call from one of the producers. And she said, I just had to tell you, you know, that was a really great show. And I said, oh, well, thank you very much. Thanks for having me, as you do. And and then she said, no, but I have to tell you something. One of our listeners called in after the show and he said, I was going to kill myself today. And when I heard those stories, I realized I shouldn't, and I didn't, and I'm here and I'm staying. And that, you know, when you have messages like that, you know you're on the right track. You know you're being guided. You know that this book happened for a reason. So look, this is my first book. You know, I've written three. I also have The Divinity of Dogs. People love that one. both books have been like global bestsellers and published in lots of languages. And I only get really lovely comments. On people who find faith, renewed faith, solace. A lot of people, as they're nearing the death process, a death transition, they read the book, and it gives them comfort. And a friend of mine, one of my dear friends, was very sick, and 10 weeks ago, I sat with her at her bedside and I read, you know, one of my own stories, about my bike accident. And I said, now, what did you just get from that story? And she said, not to be afraid. And I said, that's right, Nat, don't be afraid. I'm going to choke up here, but I said, don't be afraid. You know, you're just going a little bit ahead of us, you know?
That is so powerful, and it has to be a beautiful reminder of why you experienced that story in the first place, to be able to bring all of these other people, not only to hear other people's stories, but to you know, your friend and the man from the radio show, to be able to be a presence, almost a God story for them, of a way that they can hear God. That's really beautiful.
Well, as I said to my friend Nat, she said, Jen, pray for a miracle. And I said, I have been. I said, but let me tell you something. You know what the message I've been getting is? You're the miracle. You're the miracle. And I believe that as long as we're receptive and we're open and we make that ask, you know, you make that ask, you know, in in our Christian religions, if you will, you know, we make that ask for Jesus Christ to come into our life. Well, I say, make that second ask, you know, use me while I'm here. You know, what should I be doing? You know, and you'll be guided and you'll live. It's like a poetic love story in motion. It's the movie of your own life. And when you start to look back, you know, as you get older, if you live this way of thinking, you'll see that every trial had a reason. It had a purpose. And you'll be grateful for that. No matter how hard a trial is, I have found in my life that, and I've been through quite a few, is that there was a reason for it that enlightened me later on. Not always at the time,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's important for folks to also think of. I think with the idea and I think we all do this. We want a sign from God. We want to know that God is there, you know, has our back, feeling like God has our back. And I love how your book is a great way of saying, you know, we're not all going to receive the same types of signs. We're not all going to see God in the same way. All of those God stories are absolutely and completely different. And you may not even see your God story until later. You may not recognize it for what it is. I think that's really important to remember when we start to get frustrated that we don't see God in our lives. We're not seeing the types of things that other people see, the types of stories that you've compiled, that you've had. And that's okay, because we might not all have those or recognize them right when they happen, right?
That's right. Well, I know that, you know, especially when we're in our 20s and 30s, let's say we want, you know, you see what someone else has, they have that ability or they've had that moment. Why haven't I had that moment? Why haven't I, you know, oh, that didn't happen to me. They're lucky. Why does that person have so much money? You know, there's a lot of that going on, you know, oh, they've got a great marriage. Why? You know, it's just whatever it is, you get caught up in self a lot when you're younger. But I can only say from my own personal experience is that when I voiced to remove self out of this existence, not that I totally do, I can tell you I'm a normal person, but when I made a conscious effort and said, show me the way. I want to see. Then the doors open, you know, and with every door, or I say, you know, as I'm starting to work on my next book, it's really every window. There's a gift, every trial I see as a gift. And that's how I look. Every person that comes into your life, you can choose to take their hand or not. But either way, you're making a decision. And I always believe that there's some gift in taking the hand. I mean, as you know, Jamie, I'm also, I do international. I'm the director of international for a couple of organizations, a lobbying group in Washington for animals, and also a charity. And I travel the world on a quest, really, to bring governments and charities together to create change, not only for animals, but for the human animal as well, because it goes hand in hand together. And what happens when you're really strategically looking to help everybody is that you can, you do, and you inspire change. And I'm just saying that because, you know, that's where I'm supposed to be right now. And that's where I am. And there are so many moments that led me to this moment in time. And I feel very grateful that I'm allowed to live my passion, which has always been, you know, to help animals. I didn't know when I started out that my passion would include helping human beings as well. Because I've always, you know, when I was young, I trusted my dog more than I trusted people. And I had no idea how exciting life would be to be on this mission where I was able to bring it all together and show people just how in not looking away from a situation. So I use the example of animals. So if I, you know, years ago I saw something very torturous and everyone I was with said, you can't do anything about it. This is the country of Laos, as people say. And I couldn't not do something about it. And in looking, I was put on a path, if you will, one of the greatest paths of my life. And so I think that's part of all of this is what we're talking about. And what I'm trying to say here is that see each opportunity, each person presented as a gift. Say yes more often than you say no, because no matter what you go to, there's going to be something in it for you, you know, that will take you a step forward toward your connection, you know, with all that is God, the divine. Mm.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Jennifer. This has been absolutely wonderful. Folks at home, I encourage you to read God's Stories. I really have enjoyed reading it. And I was sitting outside yesterday reading it, which was really nice in the nice summer weather. Thank you, Jennifer, for joining me. Next month, folks, we will be joined by Dr. Ryan Jackson, who is going to talk to us about finding God and the awe and wonder of God in music and what that might look like. So thank you all at home for listening.
Thank you for listening to Crossroads. Our managing editor is Jamie Staley, and our editors are Vashina Brisbane and Emily Dombroff.